Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Heavenly Dove. And just light on this empty vessel, Lord, this empty vessel, this pitcher with nothing in it, Lord God. Just light on me right now, Lord, and take complete control. Guide and lead and direct, and most of all, speak a word, Lord.
Speak, Lord.
Use me. Any way you see fit, do with me what you wish, Lord, but speak a word, for someone needs a word.
Yes, yes.
Speak, Lord. Speak, Lord, for your servant awaits, Lord, for there's nothing that I can do, nothing that I can say that's worth anything, Lord, until you come. Speak, Lord. Have your way. As I submit, as I hide myself behind the cross, speak, Lord.
Speak, Lord.
We need you. We call on you. And we count on you, because we know that you will not fail us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. If you would, turn in your Bibles to the Gospel according to St. John. Chapter 6. I just want to read one verse. Coming from chapter 6. You've heard the scripture read, and we certainly allude or elude to whichever the word is. We'll go to that at some point this morning. But right now, St. John, chapter 6, verse 28. It says, then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? You know, the Lord has been working in a real strange way with me this week. Mm-hmm. All week I've been running into people with questions concerning God and theology. Various questions I've been running into, and even this morning we were encountering questions. And, and they all seem to evolve around the same basic question is, what does God require of me? So if you want to put down a topic this morning, we'll put a colon in it, because the first part is back to the basics. So I want you to write that out. Back to the basics. And that's a colon goes there. And then it's followed with the question, what does God really require of me? And then some of those who ask, it's a good thing, because they were bold enough to go out there. And it's others who have the same question sometimes, but they are afraid to ask, but what is it that God really requires of me? I'm sure you've asked yourself that question many times if you haven't asked someone else. And I know you probably have read it in your Bible, and you've heard me preach, and I've teaching a lot what it is that God requires of us. But when you hear it, it's tough. You say, what is it that he requires of us? And you've heard me say that he requires, number one, that we be holy.
Yes.
God's word makes that perfectly clear that we should be holy, for he is holy. He says it in the Old Testament. He wrote it to the Israelites that they should be holy. He expressed the same concept to us in Romans that we should be holy because he is holy. Mm-hmm. He further says that we should be loving. Not nice. He didn't say so. You should be nice. He said, but you should be loving. And then thirdly, he said that you should be perfect.
Perfect. That's it.
He didn't say you ought to try harder.
Come on.
But it said you ought to be perfect. So having heard the requirements of God's law, then you say, yeah, preacher, I hear that, but what does God really want from me?
Right.
Yes.
Come on now. Holy and loving and perfect. And man, there's some tough requirements. So what does he really want from me? You know, Sigmund Freud. He said there's three parts of a personality. And let me just make sure you know that all he's doing is putting a label on what God had already said and what God had already done in us. But he said that id and ego and super ego. You know, the id is the way that we are born, if you will. It's our pleasure center. It's how we are naturally born. If you look at the Bible, we're born in sin, and we're born wanting to do what we want to do.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
That's right.
And then, you know, that goes to a point, it's like, when you let your id operate, it says then, if I'm hungry, I want food.
Yeah.
And I don't care if I have to take it out of your hand. That's the end. It just says, I want what I want, and I want it now. It's the natural us, natural sin. The way we're born, we want to do what we want to do.
All right.
And then there's the ego that says, I still want what I want, but I realize that I got some rules that guide me, and just because I want that sandwich that Gerald's got, I can't just take it out of his hand because that might be repercussions.
Yeah.
Particularly if he's hungry.
Well.
So your ego says we gotta operate under some kind of restraint. It's when God gave us the law. God gave the Israelites the law. He said, here's the law. Here, let me give you some guidelines. Yes. Here's how you should operate. So the ego is me with the law, if you will. And then your super ego is the ideal you. It's what you would want to be. It's the super you. And if you look at it biblically, it's me operating under God's control with God's power. Then that would be my super ego. It's who I ought to be. It's who God calls me to be. It's who God empowers me to be. That's my super ego.
Okay.
So let me recap.
Okay.
So my id is my natural me. My spiritual ego is a better me. My spiritual super ego is the best that I can be.
Okay.
Kind of like that myself.
The
best that I can be. You see, the problem comes in, and we can generally, for the most part, other than a child, most of the time you can handle the id. But it's when we get the ego and the super ego out of control. And we're talking spiritual super ego and spiritual ego. You see, the spiritual super ego is when who you perceive yourself to be.
Right.
Who I can be in the Lord. And that your spiritual ego is who you really are. People with their hands up in the air and praising the Lord and speaking in tongues and going outside and cursing somebody out or doing whatever they want to do, that's their spiritual ego. That's who they really are. And you see, if the closer you can get your spiritual ego and your spiritual super ego together, the better off you are.
When I can
start being absorbed in the Lord, that what you see is who I am, so that my spiritual ego is the same as my spiritual super ego, and I'm God's child.
All right now.
You see, the closer you get them, the more balanced you are. The problem comes in when you start to be one.
Come on now.
Come on now.
Come on.
And think you the other.
All right. Talk to us. Thank you.
Thank you, one. You get yourself tangled up, so that's when you start getting the folk that's self-righteous. I walk like this and I talk like this.
Come on.
On Sunday.
Nice.
But my mama used to say, on Monday, I'm mean as a snake. When I'm one, but I think I'm the other. Hallelujah. You see, when I think I'm one, when I'm really the other, that means I'm not humble.
All right now.
And I fail. I'm always calling the pastor and saying, Pastor, pray for me. I'm in trouble again.
Come on.
Pray for me. Things are not going right. Pray for me, preacher. Pray for me, teacher. Things are not going right. You're not humble enough, you fail. You think you're one thing when really you are another.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Paul, put that in Romans 7. I'm going to get back to... No, I ain't going to promise you nothing. Paul, over there in that 7th chapter of Romans, he understood what was going on. Paul understood his spiritual id and his spiritual ego and his spiritual super ego. See, Romans 7 and 5 says, when we were controlled by our old nature, sinful desires were at work within us, and the law aroused these evil desires that produced a harvest of sinful deeds that resulted in death. My spiritual id was out of control if I didn't get a grip on it. And then verse 17, he says, oh, I'm not the one doing wrong, it's the sin that dwells within me that does wrong. And I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature.
Yes.
See, Paul start to understand that I got to get a control on this id. And then down there in the 25th verse, it shows us the ego. He says, so you see how it is. And in my mind, I really want to obey God's law. But because of my sinful nature, I am a slave to sin. He said, I'm toying with him in my ego. When I look at who I really am, I got to struggle. I got to fight. Yes. To do right.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. Then in the 24th verse he says, oh, what a miserable person I am.
Oh, yes.
He said, who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death?
Yes. Oh,
then he says, thank God.
Jesus Christ.
The answer is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. And when I become the best that I can be, when I let the Lord have control of me.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Hallelujah. You know, this morning in Sunday school, in the introduction, I didn't know they were right there together, but God did. Mm-hmm. The introduction to that lesson said, it's hard to make people behave.
Yes.
So we each have the perverse urge to depart from established rules and laws and go our own way. Watch this. I love this one. Dude. It said the very presence of a standard gives us an incentive to break it.
Yeah. Wow.
Is that right?
Yeah.
You shouldn't cross this street. I'm going. Ain't you glad you don't have God's job to put up with
mercy
with us. So in our text today, we find a group of Jesus followers. They ask Jesus, what must we do the works of the Father? In other words, what does God require me? What is it that you want me to do? Tell me what you want me to do. Because I want to do it.
I want to do it.
See, this question has been around for a long time.
Yes, yes.
And it's been asked by believers and skeptics alike. You see, if you look over there, what was read to you this morning, Deuteronomy 10:12 says, "And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? But to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good."
Yes.
Now, note, and you may want to put that in your notes, that I don't go to a Greek explanation too often. Not too often do you have to. But the word require here is two. I'll get to all of them in a minute, but the first way that they translate it, it was the Greek word darash. D-A-R-A-S-H. Darash. And it means ask of you. So what God did first, he said, "I'm asking you. I'm asking you. I'm not telling you what to do now. I'm asking you to do these things."
Yes.
Hallelujah. So what does God really require of me?
All right, then.
The problem comes when we try to be who God calls us to be without God's power.
Come on now.
And then when we find that we can't do what we think we ought to be able to do, we look for excuses.
Come on. Yes, yes.
See, you can go all the way back to the beginning, back to Adam, when he did wrong, he said, "Lord, it's that woman that you gave me." I would have been all right if it weren't for that woman. I never would have ate that fruit.
And the woman said,
So when we can't do what we think we ought to do, we sometimes become sarcastic and defensive.
All right. That's true.
You see, the second scripture I had read for Michael, in the 6th chapter, in the 6th verse, it says, "So what can we do? What can we bring to the Lord?"
Yes.
Sarcastic.
Yeah.
"Should we bring him burnt offerings? Should we bow before God Most High with offerings of yearling calves? Should we offer him thousands of rams and 10,000 river of olive oil? Should we sacrifice our firstborn children to pay for our sin?" What does God want from me?
What does he want? Tell us.
Yeah, my dandruff up trying to figure this thing out. What can we do, Lord? What do you want from us? Well, the 8th verse, the Lord speaks, he said, "But he hath shown thee, O man, what is good."
What is good?
"And what doth the Lord require And this is a Greek word, shaal, S-H-A-A-L. And it says demand. It says you couldn't do what I asked you to do. So let me see if I put it a little stronger. I'm going to demand of thee to do justly.
Do justly.
And to love mercy.
Love mercy.
And to walk humbly.
Walk humbly.
Before thy God. Still don't sound that tough to me. But he said, I'm now demanding that you do this. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. So it's been made plain what God requires.
Yes.
Or demands of me. And I know that I have failed and can't live up to those requirements. But in the New Testament, God seems to be saying, even, he said, and you still didn't get it. It was simple as I could put it, and you still didn't get it. Let me yet simplify another level.
Yes, yes, sir. Okay.
When the lawyer came to Jesus and asked him, what is the great commandment? What is it that you want us to do? And Jesus said unto him, here's as simple as I can make it.
All right, yes.
Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. If you can get these two commandments right, he said, there hangs all of the law and the prophets. Everything I've been trying to tell you since the beginning of time, if you can just love the Lord God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might and your neighbor
as
yourself.
That's it.
So what does God require me?
What does he require me?
Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? And Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he has sent.
That's right.
Believe.
That's right.
Let me just go a little deeper than that. We're going to quit. You see, the King James Version of the Bible says, believe on. But the Greek is more literal and says, believe into.
Believe into.
You know where I'm going? It didn't say believe on. It said, believe into.
Yes. Yes.
Hallelujah. Sister, when you start believing into Jesus, that's when you believe into powers. It's believing into a relationship where the Lord becomes the Lord of your life. It's believing into power where I can walk right. It's believing into power where I can talk right. It's believing into power that I can be the best that I can be. Not by my might, not by my power, but by God's power.
Amen.
Yes.
So what does God require of you? How do I fulfill what God calls me to be? How can I be the best that I can be?
Yes.
1 Corinthians 1:18 gives you the key. It says the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness.
Yes.
But unto us which are saved,
to us,
it is the power of God.
Yes. Oh.
When you believe into Jesus Christ.
Yes.
When you stop trying to hold on to your super, your id, your spiritual id, when you turn it loose, stop trying to do what you want to do.
Uh-huh.
Stop trying to be what you want to be and start trying to be who God calls you to be.
Yes, sir.
And accept his empowerment and let him make you all that you can be. When you accept his son Jesus, he forgives you for every time you have missed the mark.
Yes, yes.
Thank God.
Yes, sir.
You see, the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all our sin. Every time we fail, he said, I got you covered.
Yes, yes, yes.
But then he gives us the gift of the Holy Spirit. To indwell in our lives.
Yes, sir.
To begin the work of conforming me into the very image of Jesus Christ.
Uh-huh.
As I close, I want to tell you like Paul. He said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, and
what?
I'm forgetting all those things. Somebody said what they did yesterday. What happened yesterday? Where I went wrong? That fight I had at home, or who I mistreated and said the wrong things. But all of that's behind me now. I'm sorry for all I did. Lord, forgive me and let me start all over again.
Mm-hmm.
I'm reaching unto those things which are before me. I'm pressing toward the mark of the prize of a high calling in God and Jesus Christ. I want to be all that God calls me to be. Starting out today, forgetting everything else that I've done.
Right there. Yes, sir.
Trying to be
yes, sir.
What God calls me to be.
Mm-hmm.
Not many people here that don't hear God calling.
Yes.
When God calls you to a higher standard, he said, come on, you hear me softly and gently calling you and saying, come on and be the best that you can be. All you have to do is let go.
Yes.
And let God and press on.
Press.
Press on.
To the high call. What does God really require of me? God knows I can't do it by myself. I need God to take control. So all that God requires of you is fulfilled in his son.
Yes.
All you got to do is let him have his way.
Yes. Thank you.
Stop fighting with him.
Thank you.
Huh?
Thank you.
The id on this shoulder, the super ego on this shoulder.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
Oh God.
Do what I want to do.
Yeah.
Let God have his way.
Yes,
and you can feel his requirements.
Thank you, God.
We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for a simple, inspiring, an empowering word.
Yes.
We thank you, Lord, for your patience.
Yes, sir.
We thank you, Lord, for your guidance. We call on you now, Lord, just to lead us and direct us and never leave us alone, like you promised, Lord, that you would always be with us.
Yes, sir.
Help us to hear you, Lord.
Oh, yes.
Help us to hear you, Lord. As you softly and gently whisper to us, help us to hear you, Lord.
Yes, sir, God.
Help us to discern your voice.
Yes, sir, God.
We need you,
Lord. Thank you.
We call on you, and we count on you. It's in Jesus' name we pray.